This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Broccoli, cabbage, and you might want to think about asparagus. It's not that hard. Okay, it takes 2 or 3 years, but if you don't start it now, you won't have asparagus in 2 or 3 years. So, you know, try grains also. That's another idea. The biodynamic outlook, the moon in Aquarius, it's an air sign. Same advice holds as per the cyanotic outlook. And the sidereal people say that it's a good time for planting soft fruit. So if you're considering fruit trees this season, this is the time to get them in the ground. And that's it for both the conventional and the alternative forecasts. We are right now trying to reach Daniel Ellsberg. He is apparently in a line waiting to board a plane. What this is regarding is today the Freedom of the Press Foundation released a full audio recording of Private First Class Bradley Manning's speech to the military court in Fort Meade about his motivations for leaking over 700,000 government documents to WikiLeaks. The organization said in a statement, while unofficial transcripts of the statement are widely available, this marks the first time the American public has heard the actual voice of Manning, other than, of course, a few close friends. There are a few people. You can also find the audio on, I believe, the Huffington Press. But we are going to try to speak with Daniel Ellsberg as he's waiting to board a plane. And while we wait to see what happens there, this, of course, equally important, this is regional, and it is a national story as well. Regent's Blue Cross Blue Shield, as we talked about yesterday, is up to some very strange tricks. Essentially, instead of reimbursing surgery centers, they're sending checks directly to patients, or so they think. Unfortunately, some of those checks have not reached the right people, and the huge company, its motivation seem murky, to say the very least. We're speaking today with Diane Lund, musicant. Diane Lund, of course, is the force majeure behind a website, The Lund Report, of course, which I found actually put fear in the faces of Regent's Blue Cross employees when I went in to ask them a simple question. They were alarmed that I knew Diane Lund, and even more alarmed that I followed The Lund Report. So we know she must be doing something right. Good morning, Diane. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. That was the interesting comment that basically I put fear into them.
Well, yes, I went in to ask them a simple question about some charge that had been turned down, and I mentioned that I felt that I was in the right in this case because of some data which had been part of a report, of a story in the Lund Report. And all the blood drained out of the employee's face, and she took one step back and slapped both hands down on the counter and said, well, you know, and went into a diatribe against the Lund Report. And I thought, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, I believe it's because we publish the truth about what's going on behind the scenes of that company that they don't basically want known to the wider public. I think that they prefer to do all kinds of shenanigans to make sure they keep their profits high, that they pay executives exorbitant salaries, and I think they have some real internal issues in management. I don't want to go any further without I would be fearful of libeling myself.
Well, look, in this case, I don't. Blue Cross Blue Shield seems to do a pretty good job of shooting itself in the foot. Good thing they're surgical centers, ambulatory surgical centers. But in this case, I found this an extraordinary story, and it seems odd to me that Okay. Diane, stay on the line. We've got Daniel Ellsberg. We've got to talk to him right now. Hang on. Just hold that thought. Just one moment. Yes, thanks a lot. Daniel, Good morning. Thanks for joining us on Air Cascadia. This is an incredible piece of information. Audio, Bradley Manning. Can you talk a little bit about what's happened and what the...
I'm right in the security line. I've gotten to the point. All I can really say is that all the information is on the website of the Freedom of the Press Foundation. It's pressfreedomfoundation.org. That has an op-ed by me, but it has an hour and 8 minutes of Bradley Manning's voice, the first time he's been heard in 3 years.
And Chase,
by anybody but his lawyer. And at last, he's free to tell what his motives are and exactly what he did. Acknowledge that Bradley Manning had nothing to do with it, and they shouldn't be trying him for a spin out.
That's pretty stunning.
Common courtesy for you to get on the phone and give me an idea.
I understand the common courtesy. It's not uncommon for you to be innocent.
I want to ask you a question that's still on the phone, so I don't know if you address me or you address the person.
Well, our audio is breaking up very badly at this point. This is, sure, go ahead.
Security guy.
I'm sorry, just infuriated the security man here by being interviewed while I'm going through a security line. Doesn't really work. Do you have one question here, Fast?
Sure. Chase Meadow mentioned that the critical thing in the trial, in the court-martial, would be Bradley Manning saying what his motivations were, because that as a game changer. Why do you feel that? Why is that? Why are his motivations important?
If he put the burden of proof on the government to prove all the things that he did by not pleading guilty, he could not say why he did what he did and explain to the public that he's been actually very misrepresented by the New York Times and by others in general who relied on third-hand and hearsay accounts of what he's like. And the public has a very wrong impression, not only of him, but more importantly, of whistleblowers and the need for leaks of classified information if we're to have a democracy, very simply. Leaks like his are the lifeblood of a republic. Without them, the government is immune from criticism or even knowledge of what it's doing. No way to hold them accountable, to replace them, or to change the policy. So it's important, I think, for people to have an impression that this is a person who acted very deliberately and who did the right thing at great cost to himself, and not somebody who just acted randomly for publicity. He hasn't got a lot of publicity. He's been incommunicado for 3 years. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm going through the line.
Sure. Thank you so much.
I cut off. Sorry.
We very much appreciate it. Thanks so much for that. We've been speaking,
of course, with... Sorry, I can't do more.
Another time, but thank you so much for that. We're speaking with Daniel Ellsberg. Bradley Manning, of course, as many listeners know, has been portrayed as acting because of his sexual orientation, because he was unbalanced mentally, whereas, in fact, Manning was very clear and very explicit. What he knew burdened his conscience, and he felt that the American public had to know, must know, what was being done in its name, and that if the American public knew this, that... some of the atrocities could be stopped. And essentially, Chase Meadow's book, The Passion of Bradley Manning, says exactly the same thing. And there's some very, very interesting quotations in there. But now we actually have the audio. So this is kind of earth-shaking news. I want to try to continue speaking with Diane Lund, Musiquette of the Lund Report, because we, again, what you don't know can hurt you. And at so many different levels and in so many different contexts. We'll try and have Diane back.
Okay.
Are you there?
I'm here. I didn't go in. I'm fine.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And again, many thanks to our extraordinary engineer for making that one happen. So, Diane, what Blue Cross, Blue Shield is up to? Essentially, it's kind of like three-card Monty, but there are checks going out, they think, to patients. My question is, how can a very highly paid CEO come to a decision that let's just send these checks out, knowing full well that people's addresses change, the checks don't reach the right people, and it just seems like an extraordinarily irresponsible thing to do.
Yeah, well, there's legislation, too, we have to remember to try to stop this. So it'll be interesting to see whether the legislators have the gall, the gumption, basically to stand up to regents and stop this practice. And, you know, it's happening primarily right now, as far as we know, in Eugene with a surgical center. And the interesting thing is that, you know, Regents refuses to contract with them for some reason. We can't figure out really why, because they're both, you know, both sides are claiming, you know, what's going on, but Regents is paying Sacred Heart Medical Center, the hospital there, more money for the same exact services that the surgery center provides. And so what have they got against the surgery center? You know, I mean, it's just that you want lower cost. But meanwhile, like you say, they're sending checks to the patients, and sometimes they're going to an ex-husband or they're going to the father of a student, and then people are ending up at collection agencies because the checks are going to the wrong people. And Regents, instead of walking away, saying, well, you know, we don't want people gaming the system. And it just seems really absurd that people are ending up, you know, holding, you know, being the ones that have to pay.
It's an amazing scenario. There's a lot more to it, and it's all there at the Lund Report. We've been speaking with Diane Lund Musiquette, and I do commend listeners' attention to the full story, which is at the Lund Report. So we'll put a link to that also on the KBOO website. And thanks so much for bringing this to light, Diane. We really appreciate
it. Thank you for all the good work you do as well, and have a wonderful day. Okay?
Thanks a lot. And just a couple more stories here in a few minutes that we have remaining. State has come up with three strategies as far as taxes concerned, capping deductions, cutting specific tax breaks, and preventing Oregonians from claiming some federal tax breaks. This because the straightforward, this means a whole lot of rewriting of the tax code, which is a lengthy and, as all lengthy actions are, expensive undertaking. And all because Republicans have dug in their heels and refused to contemplate anything in that could be loosely defined as actually raising taxes. Moving right along, there is coming up on April 1st, and no kidding there, the state of Oregon will decide whether or not to approve this Morrow Pacific coal export project. Tomorrow is the day in Salem. And that's March 13th at 11:30 a.m. If you feel moved to stand up against the coal trains that are set to roar through Oregon, it's Salem 11:30 tomorrow. And there's been, since December of 2010, in Tunisia, a man set himself on fires and setting off revolts and Quran protests across North Africa and the Arab world. And now a second young man has done the same thing for the same reasons. This has been Ekaskadia for Tuesday, March 12th, 2013. Janet Anderson, engineer at the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Audrey. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, Fukushima 2 years later. We broadcast from the New York Academy of Medicine on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. We'll feature excerpts of a global symposium addressing the mounting medical and ecological consequences of the nuclear meltdown in Fukushima, Japan. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. 2 years after the March 11th, 2011 triple meltdown at Fukushima, compelling new information is emerging about the continuing biomedical and ecological impacts in Japan and worldwide. The two-day conference was organized by the Helen Caldicott Foundation. First up on today's show, we'll hear from Arne Gundersen, a nuclear engineer with Fairwinds Associates, on what did they know and when did they know it.
Hi, thank you very much for coming. I'd like to especially thank Helen Caldicott, the Caldicott Foundation, and Physicians for Social Responsibility for sponsoring the meeting today. I wanted to talk today about when people knew there were problems at Fukushima Daiichi, both in the decades before the accident and then immediately after the accident. But before I do, there are hundreds of people at Fukushima Daiichi and at Fukushima Daini who I'd like to acknowledge as my personal heroes. This was an accident, a tragedy, and caused by a failure of technology. But what saved the day was human courage. So we have an example here of courage defeating failures in technology because of several hundred people who risked everything to save Japan and to save the world. And I am in awe of what they did. The sequence is the first two sections. I'd like to talk about what happened in 1965. What was known before this plant was ever started? And the second two presentations is what is known now after the accident. The Fukushima Daiichi accident was made in America. The reactor was designed by General Electric and built by a company called Ebasco. I used to go to the Ebasco offices right here in Manhattan when I was an engineer on Millstone Unit 1, which was almost identical to Fukushima Daiichi Unit 1. It was licensed by the Atomic Energy Commission, which at the time, in 1960s, was the ultimate authority on nuclear licensing in the world. At least we thought that to be the case. This is not just a Daiichi issue. There's 22 other plants in the United States that are similar. And the plants in the United States are in some ways much worse because there's a lot more waste fuel